T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
ESPN's Tim Bontemps joining us here on 92.3 The Fan. Tim, how you doing today?
Doing well, fellas. How are you?
Good. We are trying to navigate the very end of the regular season. I'm going to be honest, Tim. It's been hard to get here. It's been an awesome season, and now it feels like the Cavs are just – they're not limping to the finish line, but the fans are limping to the finish line.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's been a minute since the Cavs have been in the playoffs, so I would think everybody would just be celebrating the fact that the team is headed there. But it'll certainly be interesting to see what happens once we get through these final couple of weeks and see who the Cavs are playing in the first round, how it all shakes out.
That's one of the more interesting parts of this. It's got to be the Knicks. Some people obviously want the Nets over the Knicks. You think Knicks-Cavs got to be the most ideal matchup, though, at least for what you see on paper?
I mean, from a neutral perspective, yes, I would certainly say that Knicks-Cavs would be a pretty delicious series when you look at all the storylines that go into it. I think if you're a Cavs fan, I would certainly rather play the Nets than I would either the Knicks or the Miami Heat, who after beating the Knicks last night at least have given themselves an opportunity to slide up the standings, especially if they can get the Knicks again next Wednesday at MSG. But yeah, if you're power ranking those teams, you know, the Knicks and Heat offer different challenges. I think both would be very tough series for the Cavs. Could see them winning or losing. And I think everybody in that range would certainly, of those three teams, want to play Brooklyn, given the way the Nets have looked overall since making that, you know, obviously a couple pretty seismic trades moving on from Kyrie and KD at the trade deadline.
You know, there's so much, you know, confusion or indecisiveness from fans, I think, because we don't know what this team is, right? I mean, they're really talented, they're super young, but no postseason experience. And one of the conversations we were having yesterday, Tim, was, you know, is this team ready? Are they ready for the postseason? Maybe that's a question we can't answer until we get there, but I'm curious your thoughts. Are they ready for this?
Yeah, I don't think you can answer that until you see what this team does in the postseason, right? I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, for as much as you talk about, you know, being ready for the playoffs and knowing what it's like and experiencing it, it's one thing to talk about it, and it's another thing to do it. And I think that in particular is why if I was Cleveland, I'd be pretty nervous about potentially facing, say, Miami in the first round, right? If you're going up against Jimmy Butler in a playoff series, a guy who has won, you know, several playoff series by himself in his career, That's obviously a matchup that if you're going up against him as a young team that hasn't been there before, when he's, you know, very likely the best player on the court, that's a tricky matchup, you know. And it's another thing if you're playing the Nets, who have obviously Mikal Bridges playing like an all-star since the trade, but don't have the kind of infrastructure around him to really be a challenger. So, I mean, look, the Cavs have had a great year. It's certainly been a huge success. If you'd said at the start of the season, the Cavs are going to be sitting here in fourth place in the East, with a couple of weeks to go of the regular season, pretty sure everybody in Cleveland would have been thrilled about that. And, you know, now it's up to them to back that up with, you know, one in particular, this first round matchup, one they're, you know, almost certainly going to be favored to win and against whoever they play. And, you know, like you said, it's hard to know what they're going to look like until they do it. And it'll be, I'm very, very curious to see how this group responds to it and what it looks like when the lights turn on here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, what you said about Miami I find fascinating, though. It's like, you know, Jimmy Butler, you're not guaranteed to have the best player on the court. But if you look at the Knicks, I can make an argument, Tim, in that series, not only do the Cavs enter with the best player on the court, we enter with the best young player on the court as well. Usually in the postseason, that's more than enough.
Yeah, I mean, look, I would be really – a Cavs-Knicks series would be really interesting. Those two teams have matched up really well during the season. Obviously, the Knicks have won a couple close games against them. You'd obviously have some other outside noise that would be interesting about that too. But yeah, look, I think if you go into that series with the Cavs having home court, I don't think there's any question they'd be favored to win, right? And if they lost that series, it would be a pretty big disappointment, just like it would be if they lost to Miami or if they lost to Brooklyn. You know, at the beginning of the year, I think it would have been safe to say a successful season would have been finishing in the top six and guaranteeing making the playoffs. You guys know all the stats the same as I do about how long it's been since the Cavs made the playoffs without LeBron on the team, mm-hmm. and how long it's been since they've won a series without LeBron on the team.
30 years.
But, right. But with the way this season has played out, you know, I don't know, my buddy Brian has talked about this a bunch over the past couple months. You know, the way the season has played out, the expectations to me have deservedly shifted, right? And if you're a top four team in the East all season long, and you have the best defense or one of the best defenses in the league all season long, and you have, you know, I think they still, the Cavs still have the best net rating in the league at this point. Like, that's a team that should win a playoff series. And if they don't, then I think it's obviously, I think you have to look at the way this has played out as a disappointment.
Tim Bontemps joining us here on 92.3 The Fan, of course, writes for ESPN. All right, let me ask you about Evan Mobley. Are you in the national media is funny about him. Some love him because they love what a defensive menace he is. And then others are disappointed that maybe his offensive game hasn't necessarily grown at the rate that they would have liked to seen, even though in the past month or so it's been better than it ever has been. Where do you fall with Evan Mobley?
I mean, I think he's a terrific young player. I'm just curious to see sort of what the evolution of his career is over time, right? I mean, to me, there's sort of two paths for him to go. One is he's a, you know, Miles Turner, Jaren Jackson Jr. type that is a terrific defensive player and is more of a supportive offensive player. Guy that's, you know, I would say maybe not fringe all-star is the right word, but a, you know, a guy who's in all-star contention, but not a guy that you see as a lock to make that. And then you have a guy, then the other path is more like, say, Chris Bosh, right? Who's a Hall of Fame player who was one of the 10 best players in the league, who was a guy that averaged 26-12, I think, with Toronto in an offensively depressed marked era in the league before going to Miami and being a linchpin part of, you know, four finals teams and a couple championships, right?
Mm-hmm.
That those are both really good paths. It's not like I think Evan Mobley is anything but a great player so far for Cleveland, but when you look at where the Cavs are going and where they're trying, where they're hoping to get to down the road, you know, that's one of the bigger swing questions, not only for Cleveland, but you could argue for a bunch of teams in the league is where, what, which of those paths does Evan Mobley go down? Because if it goes down the Chris Bosh path and you have a top 10 player in the league, who's a two-way player like that at both ends, then you're talking about a guy who could potentially be the best player on a championship winning team. If he goes the other path, then he's a really good supporting player, but Cleveland's ceiling probably drops a little bit, right? And it's just way too early to know which of those paths he's going to be on. But it's safe to say this Cavs got a pretty terrific player who, like you said, regardless of which of those paths he ends up going down, he's off to a pretty great start and, you know, is a very fun player to watch.
If the Cavaliers were to win a championship in the next couple of seasons, who would have to be the best player on this team, you think?
Evan Mobley. And I mean, that's really, to me, that's where I say the swing is, right? Like, Evan Mobley has the potential, in theory, to be the kind of unicorn, the term unicorn is used too much, but that type of player that every team is looking for, right? The guy who can be a defensive menace and can also be a big-time offensive player. And that's why, to me, it's the question of, is he going to be Jaren Jackson Jr. or is he going to be Chris Bosh, right? That's really, to me, kind of which direction he goes in will determine what level of player he is. And like I said, if the quote-unquote bad outcome, and it's not a bad outcome, but if like the lower-end outcome is he becomes Jaren Jackson Jr., who has been the best defensive player in the league this year, that's a pretty damn good outcome, right? Mm-hmm. But if you're talking about winning a championship, as you guys know, like even with LeBron James on your team, you're not necessarily guaranteed to win a championship. You're guaranteed to make the finals for much of his career, but you're not guaranteed to win. So, you know, to be in that kind of rarefied air, you've got to have a pretty special player as your best player. And it's very hard. If you look over the history of the NBA, Donovan Mitchell's a terrific player. Darius Garland's a terrific player. You look over the history of the NBA, pretty much the only team that's ever won a championship with their best player being the size of those guys is the Pistons with Isaiah Thomas. So if you look at a 75-year sample size and 2% of it involves one kind of player and half of it involves another, I think it's safe to say you're going to bank on the other half being the thing that you need to have happen if you're going to get where you want to go.
Tim, you mentioned how top four teams in the East, you need to win a playoff series. That's just, it's expected at this point. There should really be no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If they don't win a playoff series, does that mean J.B. Bickerstaff might be on the outs in Cleveland, or will he have more time to figure it out?
I certainly don't think he should be. I mean, I think it would be a disappointment, but I think what it would say is that the team just isn't good enough, right? Like, I don't look at this I don't see any way you could look at this Cavs team, which has had the best defense in the league, best net rating in the league, and say the coach isn't good enough if they lose in the playoffs. I think what you would look at is they have four really good players, and then there's a pretty large hole after that across the rest of the roster that, you know, they have to try to find a way to improve going forward. Like, the small, if they lose in the first round, it's probably because the small forward spot, which you guys have talked about ad nauseum for months now, is not good enough, and the bench won't be good enough. And that's the stuff that the Cavs will have to try to figure out a way to improve going forward with what obviously is going to be fairly limited assets. But no, to me, it's hard to look at this if they lose in the first round and say JB has somehow done a bad job. I think he's done a terrific job, and if it wasn't for what's going on in Oklahoma City and what's going on in Sacramento in particular with Mike Brown and Mark Daniels, I would say JB would be right there in line to be coach of the year because he's done a fantastic job. And, you know, like I said, if you said at the beginning of the year, Cleveland's got the best net rating in the league, the best defense of the league, it'd be a top four team in the East, everybody in Cleveland would have, you know, they would have signed up for that in a hot second and not thought twice about it. So no, I don't think it'll be a JB problem if it gets to that point.
Tim, what are your thoughts on the end of the Mavs game last night? It came down to the final possession, of course, and Luka, you know, he's upset about the call, the no call, and then he does the dollar sign. And what are your thoughts on the end of that game?
I mean, my thoughts are that Dallas should have won a home game against a Golden State team that had won eight games on the road all season and had Luka Doncic play it again, right? You know, I know Mark Cuban was upset about this call in the third quarter, which was a weird play, and you know, I know Luka was mad about the rest, but Golden State's been the third worst road team in the NBA all season. The only ones worse than them are Houston and San Antonio, who stink, right? So to me, like, win a home game. That's really just where I come down on it. Like, one call here or there shouldn't have been enough to swing that game. Golden State was, I think, 9-29 on the road now. So, you know, so that's my thought. Win a road game against, win a home game against a bad road team to keep yourself in a good position in the West playoff race. But that game pretty much sums up the West playoff race in a nutshell, where all of these teams have not been good all season and just continue to find ways to, you know, take themselves out of good position over and over and over again. And, you know, and Dallas losing that game to Golden State is, to me, just the latest example of the fact that from, you know, I don't trust any of these West teams, frankly. And it's why if Golden State could get Andrew Wiggins back, which we'll see if they do, they've been my pick the whole time to win the West because just by default, I expect them to deliver when it matters in the playoffs, and I have no reason to trust any of these other teams to do so.
If the Cavs were in the West, then you don't trust any West teams. If the Cavs were in the West, what seed would they end up being?
I mean, they'd probably be in the top four based off the fact that they've been healthy and their defense has been that good. I mean, I don't know if I would trust the Cavs either to, like, win three rounds in the West. I mean, they'd probably be in some similar position to Denver, right? Where you look at Denver, and I haven't seen Denver really do it in the playoffs, and obviously their defense is quite suspect, so, you know, that's going to be a concern going into the postseason. But they'd probably be somewhere in the top four, like, you know, up there with Memphis and Sacramento and Denver somewhere. I don't know if they'd be first or second or third or whatever, but yeah, I mean, look, the Cavs have been healthy. They have a really good defense. They have the best net rating. They got a really good record. Like, yeah, they'd be right there at the top of the West and, you know, they'd have a puncher's chance to win a few rounds. I mean, in a lot of ways, this year's Cavs team remind me a lot of the Donovan Mitchell Jazz teams, right? which were great regular season teams that put up great net ratings that always had a great defense.
That didn't go very far in the playoffs. Yeah, well, right.
And the difference was they, you know, it's sort of what's migrated over with them to the East is that they just typically ran into better teams, right? And that's why if Cleveland can win a series and get to the second round, like, look, the second round against Milwaukee, presuming it's Milwaukee, is probably not going to last very long and probably not going to go great. But that to me, if you get to the second round and win a playoff series for the first time in 30 years with a young team and make the playoffs, that's a huge success of the season. And if you lose to the best player on the planet in the second round, that's fine. But yeah, if the Cavs were in the West, then sure. I mean, who would you go into a series being afraid of if you were the Cavs? You wouldn't be afraid of playing anybody, you know. That's certainly where they would be.
We always love your work. We appreciate you being very generous with your time. Check him out at ESPN, Tim Bontemps, right here on 92.3 The Fan. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate you.
Anytime, guys. Thanks for having me.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.